grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ Viewers of Mandiri Channel, welcome to the early morning program here, Rise and Shine. Viewers of Mandiri Channel, again, every day we have a different topic so that we can hopefully try and learn something and ultimately improve ourselves, improve our knowledge, improve our character, and improve our well-being as well. And inshallah, today we've got a similar topic in mind as well. But before we begin, we always give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated, viewers of Mandiri Channel, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala said, that Allah azza wa jalla has created a tree in paradise whose fruit is bigger than an apple, smaller than a pomegranate, and softer than butter, sweeter than honey, and more fragrant than musk. The branches of the tree are made of pearls, and its trunk is made of gold, and leaves are made of gemstone. The person who recites Durood-e Pak upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam abundantly will be the one able to eat fruit from this tree. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mandiri Channel, every day we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, and the reason why we give you this is so that we understand the blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak, but ultimately the aim is to make everybody habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak so that everybody can benefit from this. And if we learn some of these blessings and pass them on to others so that inshallah, azza wa jalla, they can benefit as well. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of Mandiri Channel, as you know, when you watch Rise and Shine, after we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, we have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, azza wa jalla, we're now going to go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون
مردوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے
وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصیبا مفروضا
اور عورتوں کے لیے حصہ ہے اس میں سے جو چھوڑ گئے ماں باپ اور قرابت والے ترکہ تھوڑا ہو یا بہت حصہ ہے اندازہ باندھا ہوا
وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا
پھر بانٹتے وقت اگر رشتہ دار اور یتیم اور مسکین آ جائیں تو اس میں سے انہیں بھی کچھ دو اور ان سے اچھی بات کہو
وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا
اور ڈرے وہ لوگ کہ اگر اپنے بعد ناتواں اولاد چھوڑتے تو ان کا کیسا انہیں خطرہ ہوتا تو چاہیے کہ اللہ سے ڈریں اور سیدھی بات کریں
ان الذين ياكلون اموال اليتامى ظلما انما ياكلون في بطونهم نارا
وہ جو یتیموں کا مال ناحق کھاتے ہیں وہ تو اپنے پیٹ میں نری آگ بھرتے ہیں
وسيصلون سعيرا
اور کوئی دم جاتا ہے کہ بھڑکتے دھڑے یعنی بھڑکتی آگ میں جائیں گے
یوصیکم اللہ فی اولادکم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين.
اللہ تمہیں حکم دیتا ہے تمہاری اولاد کے بارے میں بیٹے کا حصہ دو بیٹیوں برابر.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of my channel, if only we can start every day by listening to some verses of the Holy Quran, you know, the spiritual enlightenment that we will get inshallah, so the benefit that we get. And if only we can sit down as a family, it would be great if we could sit down as a family every single day. And I keep on saying this, I'm probably going to get sick of me saying it, but I'm going to continue to say it, that if we can sit down as a family, viewers of my channel, sit down as a family and read at least 3 ayahs of the Quran every day with translation and with commentary, and then inshallah we can understand and we can learn and we can benefit and we can make a change in our lives. And that change will not only affect us, it'll affect our family, it'll affect the gatherings that we meet, the people that we meet inshallah azawajal, a change in the community and a change in the whole world inshallah azawajal. Every step goes towards getting to our destination. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we're going to talk about a topic where how is it that we in our deen, that in the deen of Islam is such a beautiful religion, viewers of the channel, that in whichever aspect you look at, it's for the benefit of mankind. Be it in the way that we deal with people, be it in the day that we deal with our children, the way that we bring up our children, but the way that we deal with our parents, the way that we deal with our neighbors, etc., etc. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about something very, very general. Very general in the sense that we're going to talk about the benefits or the rewards in pleasing others. If you please people, make people happy, yeah, which is what we should try and do. I'm trying to smile here. And the smiley, the reason why we smile, the reason why we smile at each other is to try and make people happy. And they say a smile is infectious, that if you smile, inshallah, as well, people in front of you will smile as well. And a smile is a sunnah. A smile is a sunnah. To smile is a sunnah as well. And you see people that they're very, very grumpy and they very rarely smile. And that attitude that people have by very rarely smiling rubs off on other people as well. So if we smile all the time, inshallah, azawajal, then not only will we benefit physically, spiritually, also we benefit other people by pleasing them as well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Pleasing others, the benefits of pleasing others, and the virtues and rewards of pleasing others. But before we talk about that, viewers of the channel, as you know, when you watch Rise and Shine, that after listening to some verses of the Holy Quran, we have the Kalam of the day. Let's listen to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu alayhi wa alihi. Sallu alayhi wa alihi.
شفاعت ہے
اپنے پیارے کی سواری وا ہوا کیا ہی تصویر اپنے پیارے کی سواری وا ہوا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're just listening to the Kalam of the day, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed it. Viewers of Mother Channel, today we're talking about the virtues and the benefits of pleasing others. is narrated via Zamil Channel in a book that you can download from our website, www.dawatislami.net. There's a book there called Hikayatein aur Nasihatein. It's in Urdu at the moment, inshallah, as it'll be translated into English soon. But in that book, on page 455, it mentions that there was a poor person and he was keeping a fast with his family and they had nothing left in the house. They had nothing to open the fast. So he went out and started to look for food. And he went into a marketplace where there were all goldsmiths. There were just all goldsmiths there selling gold and nothing else. You know, you have these markets where they sell specific goods and you can go into this place where all it is gold. So he thought, in here, there are rich people. Hopefully, somebody will help me here. So he went, he approached one goldsmith, and this goldsmith was laying down very expensive pieces of leather, thick pieces of leather. And on top of the leather, he was putting gold and bricks of gold and other things made out of gold as well. So he thought to himself that this is a wealthy person. He will be able to help him. So he approached the person and he said to him that, sir, you know, I'm very, very hungry. We have a fast. Our family has got a fast today. We have no money in the house to buy food. Can you give me a loan? Give me a loan of one dirham, and inshallah, azawajal, my family can eat from this. And inshallah, azawajal, I will do dua for you. Now, this Muslim goldsmith, he took one look at him and then he moved away. He did not listen to him at all and moved away. Basically, not wanting to listen to him, not wanting to help him at all. And this obviously hurt this person. He was very upset that obviously this had happened to him and that, you know, this Muslim goldsmith had not helped him. And so he started to obviously get upset and shed tears. Now, as he was shedding tears and he was walking away, in the next door to that goldsmith, there was a non-Muslim goldsmith that was there. And he came out and he said to him that, I saw you approach my neighbor, you know, the goldsmith there. I saw you approach him. And you said something to him, and he didn't listen to you. What was it? And he said to him, you know, sir, what happened was that my family is fasting. And I asked him, that can you give me one dirham? And I'll do dua for you. Yeah? And he refused. And now I have nothing in my house. And this non-Muslim goldsmith gave this Muslim person 10 dirhams. He said, go home. Go home and eat with your family. So obviously he was very happy, he'd gone home. He'd gone home and he's very happy his family ate. Now that same night, that Muslim goldsmith who'd refused to give that one dirham to him, he had a dream. And what did he see? He saw in the dream that it was the day of judgment. And everyone's running here and there. There's severe thirst, there's no water anywhere to drink, there's no food there. Everyone's panicking. And he saw a palace, a white palace made of pearls whose doors were made of rubies. And he raised his voice and he said, oh, owner of the palace, please give me some water to drink. He then heard a voice. He heard a voice and it said to him, until yesterday evening, this palace was yours. But when you brought the heart of that poor Muslim and gave him nothing, your name was erased from it. And the palace was transferred to your non-Muslim neighbor who fulfilled the need of the poor person and gave him 10 dirhams. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he woke up, when this Muslim goldsmith woke up, he was panicking because he saw the dream. And obviously in the dream, he was told that because he'd not helped this person, the palace had been given to somebody else, you know, and he had lost this palace because of one dirham. So he went to his non-Muslim neighbor and he said to him, you're my neighbor. You have a right upon me and I need a very important thing from you. So the neighbor said to him, tell what you need. You know, he came to him and said, look, you are my neighbor. I have a right on you. You know, and I want something from you. And the neighbor said to him, okay, tell me what you need. He said, give me the reward. Yesterday you give 10 dirhams. Yesterday you give 10 dirhams to that poor person. Give me the reward of that 10 dirhams and in exchange, I will give you 100 dirhams. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The non-Muslim said, I swear by Allah Azwajal, I will not give you the reward in return for 100,000 dirhams. Rather, even if you desire to enter the door of the palace which you saw in your dream last night, I will not even give you permission for that as well. The Muslim goldsmith then said, how did you find out about this secret? He said, that I was informed of this by the being who says be to anything and it is. And I bear witness that it is none worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. And I also bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his bondsman and his messenger. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That person, a non-Muslim, helped a Muslim. And he was gifted that thing that is more valuable than anything in this dunya, Iman. He was gifted with Iman by helping that. Now a question comes to your mind, that if a non-Muslim can be gifted with something so valuable, so priceless, by helping a Muslim, by helping a poor Muslim, he was gifted with this, what reward would be given to a Muslim who helps a fellow Muslim person? What reward would be given? There is a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we talk about the blessings of Durood-e Pak, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the Day of Judgment there will be no shade. There will be no shade on the Day of Judgment except for three types of people. Number one is he who removes a worry, removes a problem from a fellow ummati. Number two is he who revives the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three is he who spends his time in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So think to yourself, viewers of the channel, that if a person removes the worry, then he will be granted shade on the Day of Judgment. And we hear here the great reward that a non-Muslim got when he helped a Muslim. Again, viewers of the, just ponder for a second. All the opportunities we get to help people and we refuse to. Nowadays, the world has become so different. There used to be a time where, and I remember discussing this with our elders. And I was discussing it with the elders and I said to them, why is it when we were small and we were children, that you used to see more people helping each other? Yeah. I remember we used to live in a street, and in this street, there used to be a person that was a plasterer. There was a person that was an electrician. My father was a mechanic. And so all of these people that are in the house, they had different trades. They had different jobs. They had different skills. And what would happen is my father would repair their cars. They would come do any electrical work in our house. The plasterer would come and do any work in ours. And they were never charging each other. They were just helping each other. And it was the norm to help each other. To the extent if anybody wanted an extensions work doing on a house in the work, they would all chip in and help each other. And it was like the community spirit there. But now, nobody wants to help each other. Why is this happening? Is it because we feel that we don't need anybody anymore? That we've become so independent that we don't need anybody anymore? Is that what's happened to us? And if that's what's happened, then that's wrong. Even if we are independent, even if we don't need anybody, then we should still help people. Not with the intention that they in return will help us, because this is again another mindset that we have. But it is a good mindset. If you help someone, viewers of the channel, if you help someone when they are in need, then the time will come. And never ever think to yourself, this is another false thought that we have. Never think to yourself that I am never in need. I have so much money, I have so much position, so much status, I will never need anybody's help. Because I never need anybody's help, why should I help somebody? This again is a trick of shaitan. You should always help somebody when you have the opportunity. Because a time will come, viewers of the channel, a time will come where you will need help. You will need help. I remember, again, just a personal story I want to share with you, viewers of the channel. I remember when I was young and I was being brought up, and when me and my father were driving in the car, and any car would break down on the side of the road, my father would stop. My father would stop and he would help them. If he could help them, he would help them. And I said to my father one day that, Abaji, Dad, you don't know that person. You know, I was young. I said to my father that if you help somebody that you know, then obviously in the future, maybe they will help you. Yeah. And I said, but these people that you're helping, you don't know them. You don't know who they are. You're never going to meet them again. Why are you helping them? And he said to me, Beta, remember this. If you help someone that is in need, Allah Azza wa Jal will send you a person when you are in need. And I was brought up with that. I always listened to that. And I remember once, viewers of the channel, I went somewhere and literally I left that place at 1-2 o'clock at night. I'd been at someone's house. We were some friends gathered. And when we came at the house and I tried to start my car, it wouldn't start. Now it's literally 1 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock at night, we're at this gathering. The car won't start. And the house, they didn't have any jump leads. They didn't have any cars or anything that could start this car. So I smiled, and I smiled at the thought of my father, and I thought to myself that my father always said to me that when you need help, Allah will send you someone to help you. And I thought to myself, Ya Allah, my father said this. Where are you going to send help from now? And I just said this. And honestly, viewers of my children, what happened was, a door opened. At 2 o'clock at night, a door opened, and this person opened the door, and he said, you all right? And I went, no. I said, what's the problem? And I says, my car won't start. The battery's dead.
Give me 2 minutes, mate. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Yeah? And this person came out of his house, middle of the night, didn't know him, he didn't know me. He came out with some jump leads, he brought his car in front of mine, put his jump leads on, started in the car and said, "You all right, mate?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm okay." And he went back into his house. Always help people. Always help people, because if you help people, then inshallah, when you need help, Allah Azza wa Jal will help you as well. Just some, what is the meaning of actually helping, pleasing someone, comforting people, sympathizing with people? All this is within the circumference of pleasing someone. Just to sympathize with people. Just to talk to people when they wish you time. As I was coming here to the studio today, I was a little bit late getting into the studio. And the reason was outside, somebody stopped me and he just wanted to talk to me. He just wanted to talk. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He just wanted to talk. And he started talking. He was an old person. And he started to talk about the current situation and how as a result of this, we're having to do this social distancing and that. And he was just laying out his concerns. And I just talked to him for a few minutes. And I was worried the fact that I'm getting late, but I thought, no, you know, let's just carry on. Let's just carry on. Let him talk. And I think he did realize in the end that I needed to get some money. He said, "Just one more thing I want to say to you. One more thing I want to say to you." And I thought to myself that, look, why can we not give these time to be these people? This person, he wanted to talk to somebody. That's all he wanted. He wanted someone to listen to him. And nowadays, we don't even have time for that. We don't have time to sympathize with people. We don't have time to comfort people. We don't have time to please people. We don't have time to help people. It's me, myself, and I, and that's all I'm bothered about. I don't care about anybody. And this attitude is wrong views on the channel. We need to change this. We need to go out there. People are in so much need of help. You know, even in this world, we think nowadays in the West that everybody's independent. Nobody needs anything. Everybody needs something. They have a smile on their face. They may have the smile on the face, but they may be crying inside. Everybody has these problems. And believe me, if you sit down with people within a few minutes, they open up and they're shedding tears in front of you because they have so much pain inside them. But nowadays, people do not give anybody time. People don't sit down with people, don't talk with people, don't comfort people. Don't really. And nowadays, what happens is we meet each other. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Kaise ho? You okay? You alright? You okay? Theek hai. Okay. And it's a formality. It is literally a formality that you're saying, "Are you okay? Everything okay? Okay, okay. I'm okay. Okay, okay." And it's a formality because, and even if the person has a problem, he will not explain his problem to you because he knows that them words that have come from your mouth are a formality. They're not real. They don't want you, as soon as you say, "Are you okay?" They don't want to say, "Yeah, well, actually, I've got this problem and I've got this problem." They don't want to hear it. And because you know they don't want to hear it, they know that it's a formality, you just said, "Yeah, alhamdulillah, everything okay." So again, people have these problems. People have things that they are facing, but we will not give them any time or listen to them. And there are many, many virtues and blessings, viewers on the channel, if only we give them time. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said that in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, the best action after performing obligatory acts is to make happiness into the heart of a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If only we can do that. You know, you are busy in your fard, you're busy in you read your namaz, you fast during the month of Ramadan, you pay your zakat, you go on the hajj. And we know how important that is in our deen. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best action after performing them, after reading your namaz, after fasting in the month of Ramadan, after paying your zakat, after going on the hajj, the best action you can do is to put happiness in the heart of a fellow Muslim. Allah Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No doubt, pleasing your own Muslim brother is from those acts that make forgiveness compulsory." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, whoever has made a Muslim happy, he has pleased Allah azza wa jal." Allah, Allah. And surely The aim of every Muslim viewers of the channel, without doubt, the aim of every Muslim is to attain paradise, without doubt. And to attain paradise, how do we attain paradise? By pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. How do we please Allah Azza wa Jal? By performing those acts that are fard upon us, but also those acts that can also please Allah Azza wa Jal. And amongst them, we are told here that whoever has made a Muslim happy, he has pleased Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever makes a Muslim happy, Allah azza wa jalla creates an angel from that happiness who worships him and speaks of his oneness. And when that person reaches his grave after dying, the angel comes to him and says to him, "Do you recognize me?" And he replies, "Who are you?" And the angel then said, "I am that happiness." Listen to this, viewers of Mother Channel. "I am that happiness which you put into the heart of such and such person. And today, I'm going to get rid of your troubles by pleasing your heart. I'm going to help you in remembering your proof. I'm going to ensure you remain steadfast on the truth while answering the questions of the angels in the grave. On the day of judgment, I will be with you. I will intercede for you in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I will show you your abode in paradise." Allahu Akbar. If that, just that one blessing, viewers of Mother Channel, that one blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal will create an angel every time you please someone. And that angel will worship Allah Azza wa Jal and speak of his oneness. And when you die, the angel will enter your grave and he will ask you, "Do you recognize him?" And you will say, "Who are you?" And he will say that, "I am that person. I am that happiness. I'm that happiness that you put into the heart of a Muslim. I'm going to get rid of your troubles now. You put happiness in the heart. I'm now going to remove the hardship that you are facing in your heart. I'm going to help you on this day. I'm going to make sure that you answer the questions in the grave. And I will be there to intercede for you on the day of judgment. And I will be the one that will show you your abode in paradise." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, we need to change our mindset and not to have the me, myself, I attitude. I'm all right, Jack attitude. You know, it's a terminology that we use in the UK. I'm all right, Jack, meaning that I'm okay. I don't need to worry about everybody. I've got everything. Why should I worry about everybody? But remember this as well, viewers of Mother Channel, that whatever your situation is today, it could change tomorrow. You may have the biggest bank balance. You may have the biggest house. You have the most flashy car. You may have everything. And we can see around the world nowadays that natural disasters take place. And when a natural disaster takes place, what is it? It is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And when anything happens around the world, within a blink of an eye, all of your wealth could disappear. That beautiful house could be crushed. That car could be disappeared. And we see nowadays when floods happen, cars are just, you know, flowing down the streets like straws are flowing in a stream. When we see that wind is blown, wind can take houses down. We see landslides that all houses go into the sea and disappear. And think to yourself, when them houses go into the sea, when landslides take them houses, how much money, how much effort them people put into making them houses? And now, what is going to happen to them people? Are they not in need? Yes, they are in need. So any time could happen where we are in need. But that should not be the criteria of helping. We should still help people without the mindset that Allah will help us. We should still help people because the reward is so great. So viewers of Mother Channel, please develop a mindset. Help people without any condition. Help people without any mindset that I'm going to get anything back. Don't think to yourself, well, he's not in a position now to help me, so why should I help him? Yeah. I've helped him so many times, he's never helped me. Even that is wrong. That even where you've been in a need, you've needed somebody to help you and that person's not helped you. And you think to yourself, well, why should I help him? When I need help, he's not there for me. Whenever I've needed him, he's never been there to help me. Why should I help him? Again, wrong mindset, viewers of Mother Channel. You're not helping him to please him. You're helping him to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're helping that person so you can get the reward and the blessings and the virtues from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So never help anybody with the idea that that person will help you in return. And if as a result of that person not helping you whenever you need it, don't think to yourself, well, no, I've continued to help him. He's never helped me. So why should I help him? Again, wrong mindset for you as a Mother Channel. Learn to please other people. Learn to put happiness in the heart of other people. Speak kindly with people. Smile. Smile when you talk to people. When you smile, when you talk to people, you see the blessings of it. And people will come closer to you. People will be attracted to you. And if you want people, you know, this again, for those people that are actively doing the work of deen, actively doing the work of the Islam, unless you smile, nobody will come close to you. If I stand here with a grumpy face, you know what? We're going to the masjid tonight. Do you want to come to the masjid? Because there's going to be an ishtima there. And at the ishtima, you know, there's going to be tilawat, naat, zikr, dua, bayan, inshallah, salatu salam. So I think you should come. It's very good for you. Nobody's going to come. Brother, mashallah, how are you, brother? You okay, brother? Alhamdulillah. You know, tonight, inshallah, azawajal, we've got an ishtama at the masjid, inshallah, azawajal. If you come there, inshallah, we'll have talawat. Yeah, mashallah. There'll be a naat that'll be there as well. And there'll be a bayan, a sunnah inspired bayan. Hopefully, we can learn something as well, brother. And then, inshallah, there'll be zikr, inshallah. We can all take part in the zikr. And then the dua, oh, subhanallah, the dua, inshallah. With the dua that is there, inshallah, hopefully, we can get our sins forgiven. And then, inshallah, azawajal, there'll be salatu salam afterwards as well. The same words were spoken, viewers of Mother Channel, but in two different ways. one with a smile and one without a smile. I'll let you judge which one would you listen to. Again, talk to people with a smile. Put happiness in their heart. And if as a result that they don't listen to you, if as a result they rebuke you, they mock you, they mock you. Yes, they may even mock you. It doesn't matter. You've done your job. I was just remembering a famous story that Amir Sunnat in the early days of Dawat Islami, he was walking to the masjid to do the weekly ijtima. And on the way there, there was a cinema. And there was a line outside the cinema. The person from the cinema said to Amir Sunnat that, "Why don't you call Maulana, why don't you come and watch a film with me?" Yeah. And Amir Sunnat went up to him, spoke to him kindly and said to him, "You know, I cannot accept your invitation, but I want to give you an invitation today. And today I want to invite you to the masjid. I want you to invite you that this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen." And that person at that moment, he refused. He didn't listen to Amir Sunnat. He rebuked him. Many years later, Amir Sunnat was sitting and a person approached him. And he said to Amir Sunnat, "Hazur, do you know who I am? Do you remember me?" And Amir Sunnat smiled and he said, "I am that person who rebuked you. But you were that person that invited me to the path of righteousness. And afterwards, I thought about it. Afterwards, I reflected. Afterwards, I thought. And from that day, I made a change in my life. I made a change in my life and I started to go to Ijtima." Now, what happened there, viewers of my channel? Amir Sunnat invited that person with a smile, invited that person with kindness, put happiness into his heart. He didn't accept it, but he did not rebuke him. Amir Sunnat didn't rebuke him. If he said to him, "Okay, you don't want to listen to me? Don't listen to me. You're going to that cinema, you're going to enter the hellfire." No, he didn't say that. Calm, pleasing. And I can talk about many, many, many brothers, viewers of my channel, who will say to you that, "Look, we came into the environment of Dawat Islami. We repented, we reformed ourselves as a result of the kind character. The person in front of us was smiling all the time in front of us when he met us. And as a result of that, today, we are in the environment of Dawat Islami." Viewers of my channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. And inshallah, we're going to learn something in the reminder. The reminder, what is it? It's exactly what it says. It's the reminder. A reminder of what we should not be doing. And a reminder of how to make a change in our life. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. What have we got today? A very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has reported to have said, "Shall I not inform you of the person hellfire is haram prohibited for? The one who is good-natured, soft-spoken, forgiving, and fulfiller of people's needs." So many things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reminded us in this beautiful hadith. You know, he's reminded us that a Muslim is soft-spoken. He's reminded us a Muslim is forgiving. And he's reminded us that a Muslim is the one who fulfills the needs of people. How lucky that person is who fulfills the needs of other people. As they say, everyone lives for themselves. Try to live for others as well. Inshallah, Azawajal, you'll see the benefit and the mazah, the satisfaction that you will have to live for other people. And if you look at the life of our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, throughout the life, seerat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see one beautiful thing highlighted, and that is that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always, you know, to try to take care of the affairs of other people. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through hardships and problems and calamities, yet our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always thought good about other people. Even though he went through a hard life, he was thinking of how to make a better life for Muslims. He went through problems, yet he always thought about how to remove problems from other people as well. And Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "A mu'min is so good-natured and soft-spoken that people consider him a foolish person due to his gentleness." Now, sometimes the shaitan gets, you know, over us, and the shaitan says, "Well, I don't want to be too gentle. I don't want to be a gentle person. I want to be someone who is hard, who is strict." And we try to implement that in our homes, on our children, on our family, that we are always in the mood. We're always, you know, too hard on them. You know, but my dear Islam brothers, the reality is that a Muslim is very soft-spoken. A Muslim is not a fool. A Muslim, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, is someone who is polite. Such a beautiful narration that I'm going to mention to you about Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, be a man outside, be a child at home. Now, as they say, you know, goodness starts from the home. Our own family, they deserve that we be polite to them. And as a Muslim, never ever, you know, have this attitude that you're always angry, you're always in a bad mood. I just want to mention this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a mu'min is like a camel led by a halter around its nose. If it is tied to something, it stopped. And if it is walked, it starts walking. If it is made to sit on a stony ground, it sits. Yani, you know, to put it into understanding is have your card in a neutral position. If someone wants to push you forward, you'll push you forward. If someone pushes you backwards, you're going to come backwards. So always be in a neutral position. Don't be stubborn on something that, no, this is going to happen because I said so. No, always be polite. Listen to other people's conversation. Other people will be giving their mashwara, their ideas. Listen to them before you make a judgment. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports another very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Glad tidings to the one who adopts humility without misery. Glad tidings to the one who keeps the company of scholars and wisdom and refrains from the company of the disgraced sinners. Glad tidings to the one who spends excessive wealth of his in the path of Allah azza wa jal and avoids useless talking. Glad tidings to the one who is acting upon my sunnah and does not give it up to adopt bid'ah innovation. So many things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And one of the beautiful things I want to highlight from this hadith pak is the company of the scholars. Why the scholars? Because the scholars are the next of kin of the prophets of Allah. The scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed on. And my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we ask ourselves a question: how close am I to the Islamic scholars? Whenever I do things in my life, am I close to the scholars or am I really away from them? And another beautiful thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith pak is that he refrains from the company of the disgraced sinners. Those people who commit sin, he keeps well away from them. He doesn't, you know, hang around with these people. He doesn't stay with them. And he's always, always fearful of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, as Muslims, my dear Islam brothers, do not give up a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You know, sometimes we might act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but because of peer pressure, because of other pressure, people try to, you know, just to save the so-called humiliation. There is no humiliation in acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is always reward and there is always success in acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah azza wa jal, one beautiful thing that in our daily reminder of today was, we need to be polite. We need to have a smile on our face. When you meet with a Muslim, have a smile on your face. Be polite to him. Don't shout at him. Don't scold him. Don't remind him of his bad things that he's done to you. Just smile. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, if we are good to people in this world, Allah Ta'ala will forgive us and Allah Ta'ala will grant us paradise on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you were just watching, MashaAllah, Hafiz Rafaqat Attari though was giving us some madri pearls with regards to how our character should be and how we should not be stubborn and how we should smile. And as he was mentioning towards the end that we should smile with each other, and as I was mentioning early on that a smile is a sunnah and how, you know, beneficial it is, something came to my mind that, you know, alhamdulillah, whenever I have had the blessed opportunity to go to Karachi in Pakistan and I've had the opportunity to meet Amir al-Sunnat. And what happens over there is normally before Seri at that time, there's an opportunity to meet Amir al-Sunnat and people queue up and basically you're meeting him for just a few moments and he will give you salam and you will give salam. And sometimes people ask for him to do dua or to do dam or something. And I remember queuing up I remember looking at the queue and I could see that in front of me, I don't know, as an estimate, there was probably maybe 100, 150 people in front of me. And when I looked behind me to see how many people were in the queue, again, there was maybe another 150 people, 200 people, and already another 100 people had visited him. So I could say, probably say that maybe 500 people, 600 people were going to meet Amir Al-Sunnah that night. At least, probably even more that were going to meet Amir Al-Sunnah that night. We're queuing up. And you see some people that, because the queue is moving slowly, they sit on the ground, they get tired, they stand up, they move forward, they sit on the ground again. And then you get other people that are just, you know, because they're leaning against the wall because they get tired. And slowly, 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 the queue moves forward. I can say, viewers of the channel, that whenever I've had the opportunity, the blessed opportunity of meeting Amir Al-Sunnah, I've met him. And when I've met him, the way he meets me, the way he greets me, the way he smiles in front of me, it is as if he has been waiting to see me the whole night. Now, that's not the case. Obviously, he's not waiting to see me. He's not waiting to see me. But the way he greets me, the way he smiles, yeah? And I can, as I'm talking to you now, I can picture that beautiful smile in front of me now. How Minnesota greets you, how he smiles at you. And that smile is the one that wins your hearts. And when I meet him, it's as if he has been waiting for me. Yeah, he's not been waiting for me. He's not been waiting for me. Why should he wait for a person like me? But he greets you in such a way. And that's a lesson for us. It's a lesson for us that no matter who you are, no matter who you're meeting, meet them with a smile, meet them with a good intentions, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, they get rewarded. Nowadays, what even happens is we see people, they come to see you. They want to give salam to you. They want to meet you. And you go, salam alaikum. Because you're busy talking. Okay, salam alaikum. You're not even giving them a proper salam. You're not even looking at them. You're not looking at them. But learn from Amir Al-Sunnah. And if you get the opportunity, sometimes on Madani channel, they run. You can see when the mulaqat are taking place where people meet Amir Al-Sunnah and watch it. And you will see Amir Al-Sunnah smiling all the time. And you know, I remember once trying to just put yourself in that position where you're smiling continuously for an hour. Your cheeks start to hurt. Your cheeks start to hurt, viewers of the channel. But Amir Al-Sunnah, all night, there can be 500 people there, there can be 1,000 people there. He'll meet every single one of them with a smile, a beautiful smile. And everyone he's putting, what is he doing? He's putting in happiness in the heart of the Muslims. And think to yourself, we mentioned the reward of putting happiness in the heart of one Muslim. Just think that Amir Al-Sunnah throughout that whole night, how much happiness and how many Muslims he's put the happiness into their hearts. How many angels have been created for Amir Al-Sunnah that will be with him in the grave? How many angels will be there on the Day of Judgment? Allahu Akbar. And this again is through putting happiness in the heart of Muslims. And if only we can have this mindset that we need to make people happy. Simple. It's not a hard thing to work out. Just try and make people happy. And as Hafiz Rafaq has mentioned, that put yourself in neutral, meaning that when your car is in neutral and the handbrake's off, if someone pushes the car forward, it'll go forward. Someone pushes the car backwards, it will go backwards. And that's how we need to be. Don't be stubborn in your life. No, that's what's going to happen. I told you, that is it, that is it, that is it. No mutter. No, again, even if you are convinced that you are right, yeah, and you are 100% convinced that you are right, then what you now need to do is you need to 100% convince them that you are right. Not be stubborn and say, no, I'm right, end of. Convince them, explain to them, make them understand. Make them understand why you think or you believe that you are right. And you never know, maybe you are right or maybe you are wrong. But when you talk to them in a nice manner, then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, the situation will be resolved. And this is, you know, by being in neutral, by being in this way where you are, you know, willing to listen or willing to put happiness in the hearts of people, then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, there are great benefits. Not only in society in general, it'll create a greater harmony in society where the society as a whole will be happier, the society as a whole will be more comfortable. And in the way that Hafiz Rafaq had mentioned, he said that when you're outside the house, be a man. When you're inside the house, be a child. And what happens is the opposite happens. Outside the house, we're a child. Inside the house, we're a man. No, this is what I want. I want my cup of tea. It's not hot enough. Not enough milk in it. Not enough sugar in it. Don't want to drink it. Make me another cup of tea. And we're so stubborn and so harsh inside the house. And yet outside, okay. You know, inside a house, help the family members. Please the family members. Don't be that person that when the front door opens, all of a sudden the whole family is alert. They're scared now. Oh, dad's coming home. That's home. Oh, my husband's coming home. And they're all of a sudden, you know, the blood pressure goes up. They get tense. The muscles all tense because now they're scared. They're worried. That should never happen. When you go home, when you open that front door, the whole family should be happy to see you. And that can only happen if you put happiness in their hearts. If you generate that condition that put happiness in their hearts, that they want to see you. You should be that person that people want to meet, not that person who people don't want to meet, people want to run away from. You don't want to be that person when you're walking down the street and people see you from a distance, they go around the other street and avoid you. You want to be that person that if people hear that you're on a certain street, they come to that street to see you. You need to be that person. In the community that you live, if you want to realize how happy you are, how people are, then think to yourself that if I leave this community, if I leave this community, leave this street, leave this household, leave this area where I'm living, will people be happy that I've left? Or will people be sad that I've left? And if you think that people are going to be happy when I've left this area, then you need to think why. What am I doing wrong that people will be glad to get rid of me? They'll be glad to see the back of me, glad to see me go. And in the same way, viewers of Mother Channel, I'm talking about leaving a street, leaving an area. Just think about when you leave this dunya as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when he saw a funeral going by and people were talking good about that person, he was a kind person, he was a gentle person, he was a helpful person, he was this. I'm praising that person. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person passes away, if people speak good about that person, then jannat becomes wajib upon that person. Allahu Akbar. But in the same way, another funeral was passing by. And the people were saying that, you know, that person, he was this, he was that. He wasn't helpful. He was always, you know, harsh with his words. And they were talking negative about him. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person passes away and people speak bad about him, then hell becomes wajib upon that person. What about me? What about you? What will people think about us when we pass away? Because that's going to happen. We're going to die without a doubt. And when that happens, what will people think about me? What will they think about you? Will your neighbours, your friends, your relatives, your associates, people that you work with, will they think positive about you? Like I said, when I was coming here and I was a little bit late, the person outside, he was talking about a certain individual that had passed away recently. And he said he was such a brilliant person, such a great person. And he said to me, he was a gentleman. And he was a gentleman, you know. And he said, I can never speak bad about that person. And I was thinking to myself that, you know, that person, how lucky he is. I didn't know who that person was. You know, they said that he gave the name of the person. I won't mention his name. He gave the name of the person. He said that he was such a nice person, such a kind, gentle person. And I'm thinking to myself, how lucky that person is that he's passed away and people are praising that person even now. And again, ask yourself that when we pass away, will people speak good about us? Or will they be thankful? Yeah, I pray that doesn't happen. Will they be thankful that we're no longer giving them any trouble? Again, pleasing people, views on the channel, is what we're talking about today. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that pleasing a Muslim's heart is better than 100 optional, 100 nafal hajj. 100 nafal hajj. So all you views on the channel who go on the hajj every year, you perform your fard and you go on every year, it is better for you to please the heart of a Muslim. You will get more reward than 100 nafal hajj if you please the heart of a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Khwaja Nizamuddin Awliya, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that on Judgment Day, there will be no action as valuable as looking after another person and pleasing others. Looking after people, pleasing them. Do we have time to look after people nowadays? Or do we just pass that on to the people? Well, not my responsibility, is it? Not my job, is it? Not do with me, is it? Why should I bother? Why should I look after them? Yeah? It's my mother-in-law, it's not my mother. It's my father-in-law, it's not my father. It's my brother-in-law, not my brother. It's my sister-in-law, not my sister. Why should I look after them? Why should I look after them? Again, if you look after people, there is great reward in them, pleasing them and great reward them. Again, this mindset, why? You know, this mindset, why? And if you have this mindset of why, yeah? Why should I do this? I'll give you the answer. One answer. To please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Full stop. Don't need any other answer. Why should I help him? To please Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's never helped me. Why should I help him? To please Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's never done anything for me. He's been trouble all his life for me. Why should I help him? To please Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if we have that mindset, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla will all be rewarded from it. Sayyidina Makhul Dimashqi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that whoever dies whilst pleasing another person, he is a martyr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And there is great blessings for you as a Muslim in helping others, in pleasing other people. And there's such a great reward of it. And if we look at our pious predecessors, nowadays we say, oh, well, I haven't got time. I haven't got time to help people. I'm so busy. I'm so busy in my life. I haven't got time to help people. I'm busy with this. I'm busy with that. I haven't got time to go out and help people to please because my lifestyle is so busy. Are you busier than the great Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala? That when he was the Khalifa and he had all of the Ummah to look after, can you say that you are busier than him? Can you say that you had more problems to resolve than him? Can you say that you had more issues to resolve than him? Can you say that you had more things to do than him? No, you cannot say this. But he, Allahu Akbar, would go out of his way to help people as well. And I want to give you a beautiful parable with regards to Sayyidina Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and how he would go out and help people. It is said that one night, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, saw a tent whilst walking through the streets of Madinah al-Munawwarah. And when he got closer, he heard the voice of someone suffering a difficulty. There was a person sat outside the tent. He gave salam to him and he asked him what was happening. And he found out that he wanted to meet the Khalifa of the time. He didn't realize that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu was in front of him, that he was the Khalifa of the time, but this person, he was facing difficulty and he says, I want to meet the Khalifa of the time. And he said to him that, you know, why is it that you want to meet the Khalifa of the time? And he said to him that his wife was in labor and was giving close to birth and there was nobody there to help him. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he went home and he asked his honorable wife, now listen to this, viewers of the channel. He asked his honorable wife, and listen to the words that he used. He asked his honorable wife, Sayyidina Umm Kulthum bint Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, that do you want to earn reward? Do you want to earn reward? Do you want to get some blessings? What a beautiful question. What a beautiful question to ask. Do you want to have some reward? And he said to that, do you want to earn some reward? Allah Azza wa Jalla has brought this opportunity to you. You know, this mindset that, you know, do you want to earn some reward? And Allah Azza wa Jalla has brought this opportunity. What a beautiful mindset. And whenever I've read that and listened to that, it makes me think about that situation. Them words enough are there for us to make us reflect. That this has happened, that situation has come to you. Do you want to earn the reward from it? And she replied, Hazur, what is it? And he said that a woman is close to giving birth and there is no one with her. And she said, if you are happy, then I will go. And he replied, okay, gather your supplies and let's go. So when they reached the tent, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu sent his wife inside and he sat outside with the person. He sat outside with the person and he said to him, light the fire. The person lit the fire and Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he put a pot over it and he started to cook food. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa of this time, started to cook food. When the food inside the pot was cooked, as soon as the food was cooked, on the other side, the child was also born. And his wife called out from inside, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, inform your companion that he has a son. As soon as that person heard the word Amir al-Mu'mineen, he got scared and he took some step backward with humility and he sat down. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala said to him, sit as you were sat before. He then picked up the pot, gave it to his wife, and he said, feed the woman to her stomach so that her stomach is full. He then gave food to the person and also said, come to me tomorrow morning, I shall fulfill your needs. When that person came to him in the morning, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala fixed an amount for the child and he also gave the same person some money as well. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, when that person said to him that I want to meet the Khalifa of the time, yeah, I want some help. He didn't say, I'm the Khalifa, what do you want? No, he didn't. He hid that from him. He hid his status from him, he hid his position from him. And then he went there. He didn't just take his wife there and say, okay, you go inside and you know, deal with the situation there. He lit the fire. He started to cook food. He made food. Sent the food inside as well. Made the person eat the food as well. And all this time, he didn't say, oh, you know, you wanted to meet the Khalifa, here I am. You know, I brought my spouse with me. She, inshallah, will go inside and I'll cook you some food. He didn't do that. Or he could have said, look, I brought her, now make me some food. Now I'm here now, okay? Let's have some food. Have you got any food in the house? Make me some food. No, he himself He himself did all these things. And the mindset is just amazing that do you want to earn some reward? Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent this opportunity to you. And when an opportunity comes to us, when we see that someone is in difficulty, when we see that someone has a problem, when we see that someone wants help, we think, why are they coming to me? Why have they come to me for help? Have they not anybody else that they can go to? Have they got not any relatives? Have they not got any neighbors? Why are they coming to me to ask for help? Do they not know anybody? Why are they coming to me? Whereas in the people of the past, they were happy that these opportunities came to them. They had the opportunity to help people. They had the opportunity to please Allah. They looked for these opportunities and they were thankful when these opportunities came. Whereas nowadays, unfortunately, when an opportunity comes to us, we think to ourselves, why? Why is this opportunity to come to me? And we don't even, you know, I'm using the word opportunity. When people have this mindset, they don't use the word opportunity. Why has this problem come to us? Why has he come to me? He's got rich relatives. He's got rich friends. He knows that person, that person, that person. Why has he come to me? Yeah? And rather than being thankful that someone has come to you for help, what we do is we start questioning it. And what happens is you've lost the opportunity. You've lost the opportunity. Allah Azza wa Jal sends you countless opportunities, countless times where you can please Him, but you refuse them. You close the door on them opportunities. You switch off the phone to them opportunities. You don't reply to them messages to them opportunities. All them opportunities come to you to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, but you just delete them. You delete them emails. You delete them phone messages. You switch off the phone. You close the door. And you ignore it. And on the day of judgment, you will regret it. Like that person at the beginning that I mentioned, that he was asked for one dirham, and as a result of not helping that Muslim that needed one dirham, he lost his palace in paradise. And on that day of judgment, if you find out, if you were told on that day that as such a person needed your help and you didn't help him, and as a result, see that palace there? Not yours anymore. As a result of you missing them opportunities when them opportunities came to you. Views of Madani Channel, it's about developing a mindset. We call it the Madani mindset, having this Islamic mindset. And we've said many, many times before that as Muslims, many of us may look like Muslims. You know, we may have the beard, we may have the Imam Sharif on, we may wear the clothes according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala. So we may outside read our namaz, we may look like we act like Muslims. But do we have the Muslim mind? We have the Muslim mind. We have the Muslim look, but do we have the Muslim mind? And the Muslim mind is such that it looks for opportunities to please Allah Azza wa Jalla, looks for opportunities to gain reward and gain blessings. That's what the Muslim mind should be. And whenever these opportunities come to us, we are thankful. If you have the Muslim mind, you are thankful that these opportunities have come for you. And you will take hold of them opportunities, and you take hold of them opportunities happily, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this opportunity. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this opportunity, then thank Him. And we hear nowadays where people are saying that we're building this masjid, we're building these wells, and Dawud Islami is building these wells in Thar where people haven't got water. And people are grasping them opportunities. Basically, we have to make an announcement that we're making 10 wells, £600, £700, £800 a well. And people are saying, I'll have two wells, I'll have three wells, I'll have one well. People are not saying, okay, forget it. No, alhamdulillah, people are coming forward. When we're doing work in our masjids, we're creating Jamiatul Madinas, Madrasatul Madinas, masjids, people are coming forward. But then there are those people that don't want these opportunities, don't want these blessings, don't want to have this, because they feel it's a burden when you say to them that, look, you know, there's a madrasa opening, there's a jamia opening, there's a masjid opening, there's these wells that need it. They don't want to hear it. And you need to ask yourself that why is it that same message, when it's related to this one person, he jumps at the opportunity, but when that message is related to me, I don't want to hear it. The message is right, the problem is us, viewers of my channel. The problem is us. And we need to change our mindset. We need to change our mindset that whenever an opportunity comes to us where we can earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we should grasp it. Not only grasp it happily, with a smile, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, and they will get rid of the world. Viewers of my channel, we're now going to go and listen to the hadith of the day, and hopefully we're going to learn something new. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah, in today's daily hadith, I will be sharing a hadith in regards to a beautiful sunnah narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُكَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ إِنْدَ كُلِّ سَلَىٰ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, had I not found it difficult upon my ummah, I would have instructed, I would have commanded them that they use the miswak for every salah. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, from this hadith we can understand how much importance and emphasis has been made upon using the miswak. Alongside there being many hygienical and medical benefits of using the miswak, the greatest virtue of using the miswak, of course, is that it is the sunnah of Rasulullah and it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the miswak, it pleases the Rahman and it displeases the shaitan. Using the miswak, it graces an individual with the presence, with the company of the angels. And through using the miswak, one is able to elevate his status in Jannah. Also, the miswak aids a person in the pangs of death. And the salah which is performed after using the miswak, its reward is also multiplied by 70. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, why don't you also make the intention to use the miswak? Now, how do we use the miswak? When do we use the miswak? To learn about all these manners and many other Madani pearls in regards to miswak, I encourage you to read the booklet of written by Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, entitled Blessings of Miswak, which can be purchased at your nearest Maktabatul Madina, or alternatively you can download it on the website of Dawat Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the privilege of being able to make use of this beautiful miswak and ultimately act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, the blessings of using miswak, and as the Mubalik said there, MashaAllah, that there is a booklet, The Blessings of Miswak, if you download that book and read it. And again, there are great sunnahs that we can take benefit from as well. We always clean our teeth, so why not clean our teeth with the miswak as well and get the reward as well. And there are many, many things like that, if you're with the channel, that, you know, we sleep, we eat, we drink, we walk, we cut our nails, we do all sorts of things that we get no reward for. And it's our daily routine. But if we do them according to the sunnah, then what great reward. If we cut our nails according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then our nails will be cut. We need to cut our nails, but if we cut them according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what reward we will get. And very quickly, now that I've done that, I raise my hands because it's a habit that whenever we teach people how to cut the nails according to the sunnah, we raise our hands to show people that basically the way to cut your nails according to the sunnah, and I know you're going to say it's going off the topic again, but I'm doing this with good intention that we can inshallah hopefully all learn something from this. That you start by cutting the nail of your shahadat ungli, this finger, you cut that one first. And then if you do that finger, then that finger, then that finger, then that finger, so you've gone across the hand. Then you come to here, you do this finger, this finger, this finger, this finger, and then the thumb. So you've gone literally from here all the way across to your thumb. What's left? This thumb. So you're starting on the right hand and you're finishing on the right hand, but you're starting with this finger, this, then 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 this, and then back to this. You cut your nails, you always cut your nails. But now, with the intention of doing it according to the sunnah, inshallah azza wa jal, you'll be rewarded by doing this. So again, there are many, many many things that we do. And if we travel in the way of Allah azza wa jal, if we watch Madani channel, then inshallah azza wa jal, we can benefit from this and learn how to do these same things that we do on a day-to-day basis according to the sunnah and get the reward as well. Views of Madani channel, just before the break, I mentioned the story of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, that, you know, he went and helped that person and took his wife with him to help that person whose wife was also in the condition of labor. And then later on, you know, they had a child and he cooked food from them. Now, this great person that I just want to mention very, very briefly, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, is that great person we are told that the shaitan would run away from the shadow of this person. We are told that this person was given the glad tidings of paradise by the blessed tongue of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that this person is a jannati. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Allah, honor Islam through Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala." He did dua for him, and he would stay awake during the night and he walked through the streets for the well-being of orphans and the helpless. According to whose opinion, many verses of the Holy Quran were revealed, and who himself he stated, this was how his sense of responsibility was. And this is why I wanted to mention this, that you need to understand how great a responsibility he had, yet even then he still took out time to help people. He said once, if a goat died hungry at the bank of the refutaries, then I fear that I will be questioned about it on the day of judgment. But it's my responsibility, I'm the Khalifa, whatever is happening in the Muslim empire at the moment, on the day of judgment, I will be questioned about it. And if a goat was to die thirsty, then I will be accountable for that. And he said he was who alone was the ruler of the kingdom, but that was thousands of miles. The kingdom was so huge, that he was the king at that time. Well, not the king, the Khalifa at the time, the ruler of that time. And what a great responsibility he had. But even then, even such a great lofty position he had, he would still go out and help people. And this way of helping people wasn't just restricted to these individuals. It was restricted throughout the years, throughout the ages of all of our pious predecessors, that whenever they had an opportunity to help people, they would help people. Imam Hassan, radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the brother of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, is stated that once he was passing by some poor people who sat begging in the middle of the path and eating leftover pieces of uncooked bread that were scattered on the floor. He gave salam to them and they replied and they requested, because they knew who he was, they knew his status. They said to him, "O grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eat with us." Now what were they eating? They were eating leftover pieces of food or uncooked food they were eating there. And when they invited him, he said, "Allah Azza wa Jal does not like those who desire greatness." He then ate a few pieces with them, and whilst leaving, he gave salam to them and said, "I accepted your invitation. You should also accept my invitation." And they replied, "Hazur, as you say." He then asked them to come with him. And when they came to his house, he fed them excellent food and he also ate with them as well. Allahu Akbar. I mean, just think about the great character there, viewers of the channel, of the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The life of the daughter, he was Sayyidina Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, her son, you know, Imam Hassan radiallahu anha. This is who we are talking about. We're talking about that person who was a high-ranking companion. He was included in the Ahli Bayt. He's the son of Amir al-Mu'minin Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anha, and the status of Imam. Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu is such that he is the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in spite of all of this great status that he had, in spite of all this, he was not proud. When these poor people, when these beggars were there, sitting there, and they were eating scraps of food, and they invited him to sit with them, he could have said, "Nah, don't want to eat with them. Don't want to eat that food. I've got nice food at home. Right? I've got a nice place to sit at home. Why should I sit with them?" No. To put pleasure in the hearts of them. And also to make sure himself, questioning his own nafs, he made sure that he had that humbleness inside and he sat with them. He sat with them, ate a few morsels with them, made them happy that such a great guest was sitting with them. And then after that, what did he do? He then said, "I accepted your invitation. Now you accept my invitation." And he invited them to his home. And again, though, there is a great message for us, viewers of Munshal, the humbleness, the humility of people. And nowadays, what happens is, if we are invited to someone's house, if it's not a wealthy person's house, we don't want to go. I don't want to go to his house. He's not got very good sofas there. He's not got a very good carpet there. He's not going to give us good food. He's not well off. What are we going to eat there? We're going to get a cup of tea, if that. Yeah, point is going there. Ah, look at his house. Look at that big, massive house he's got. Yeah, there's going to be chicken there. There's going to be meat there. There's going to be good curry there, good rice there, good food there. Yeah, yeah, we'll go to that house. Yeah? Rather than going to the poor people's houses. And when people respect you, when you have a status in society, when people look up to you, yeah? Whose invitations do you accept for a cup of tea? Just a cup of tea. The cup of tea is going to be the same. Whose invitation do you accept? Do you accept the invitation of that rich and wealthy person? Or do you accept the invitation of that poor person? It's this one, isn't it? Why? Are they both not Muslims? Do you not want to please both of them? Why is it we have to go to that house and not to this house? Why? Again, need to question ourselves why we're doing this. And this humbleness, this humility is something that we need to come inside us, viewers of the channel. We need to be lower ourselves. Never think of ourselves as being so great. Never think of ourselves as having such great status. And what happens is nowadays, if a person has nothing, yeah? He has no status in this dunya. But then he is fortunate. Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses him with an opportunity and he grabs hold of that opportunity. And as a result of that opportunity, he gets money, he gets status, he gets position. And as soon as he gets status, position and money, he forgets who he was. He forgets the time when people used to look down on him. He forgets the time when people used to shun him. And now he's in that position, and what is he doing? He's shunning people. He's abusing people. He's pushing away people. When he was in that same position, he's forgot that. When he was in that position, he needed help. He wanted people to help him. He wanted people to look after him. Nobody was there. Now he's in a position to help people, and he said, forget it. Right? I'm all right. You know, again, coming back to that saying here, I'm all right, Jack, why should I worry about other people? Why should I care about other people? Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with an opportunity. And remember this, viewers of my channel, that on the day of judgment, you'll be asked, what did you do with that wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you? Yes. Allah Azza wa Jalla give you. Allah Azza wa Jalla give you that wealth. What did you do with it? You can't say, well, I worked really, really hard for it. 8 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours. I did this, I did that. Okay, you did. But Allah Azza wa Jalla give you the opportunity to work for that. What did you do with it? Did you help anyone? Did you try to put happiness in the heart of someone? Or did you just look after yourself and nobody else? Because that was what was given to you as a blessing. That wealth was a blessing to you. And on the day of judgment, every single blessing you'll be questioned about. You'll be questioned about your youth, your wealth, your time, your health, your life. What did you do with these things? What did you do with them? Ask yourself. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with wealth. What have you done with it? Spent it on yourself? Enjoyed? Gone on holidays? Gone here? Gone there? Bought yourself a nice car, nice clothes, nice house? Not bothered helping any poor people? Forget them. I'm all right. Allah look after them. Yes, Allah will look after them. Allah will look after them. But do you want to be a means of attaining the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Again, the mindset that we need to, and we need to humble ourselves. We shouldn't have this pride inside ourselves that we know everything, we've got everything, we don't need anybody. And as I've said so many times, within the blink of an eye, viewers of the channel, everything can be taken away. A tsunami could come and your houses could go. A landslide could go, your houses could go. Floods could go, everything could disappear. Within a blink of an eye, everything could go. Everything could go within a blink of an eye. And what will happen then? Then you'll be the one. Please help me. Please help me. When you were in a position to help someone and nobody helped you, and now you're looking for help. So we need to humble ourselves. With regards to being humble, viewers of the channel, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever adopts humility for his Muslim brother, Allah Azza wa Jal elevates his rank, and whoever desires to be above his Muslim brother, Allah Azza wa Jal will make him inferior. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves those who are humble and dislikes those who are proud. Be humble. You know, and we should be humble in all our lives. You know, they said the fruit tree, you know, a fruit tree that has apples on it. When apples grow on the tree, what does it do? The branches lower themselves and give the fruit to the people. If the branches are like that, then it's hard for us to get the fruit off them. But the fruit tree, it lowers itself. And in the same way, viewers of Malaysia, we need to humble ourselves. We need to lower ourselves. Yeah? Don't be proud. Don't be proud of who you are. What are you proud of? What are you to be proud of? I was looking the other day at the map of the whole world. And I was thinking to myself that, you know, where I live, if I was to get a map, and I was to get a pen, and I was to get a pen and put a dot on the map of the world where I live, that dot would probably be bigger than the whole town that I live in. Yeah? That dot of a pen that I put on the world map would be bigger than the town that I live in. So I, in this dunya, I'm more insignificant than that dot on the. And if you look at the moon, the stars, the planets and everything, what are you? What are we? We are nothing. What have we got to be proud of? Absolutely nothing. We should be thankful that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us life. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us health. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us all these things. We need to be thankful of this. We're just going to take a small break now, inshallah. We've got a little promo for you, inshallah. Please watch this and inshallah come back and we'll finish with some more words as well. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There are many ways to earn the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and reward from His court. Let me share with you an idea where you can earn huge amounts of reward. Yes, all you have to do is to support what you're watching right now. Yes, Madani channel. Imagine your donation will be used to raise the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in order to mention the praise of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to mention the hamd of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to say the naat of Mustafa, to explain the tafsir of Quran and sharaf hadith, to distribute the knowledge and wisdom to the world. You can imagine a great cause and its reward waiting for you in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You can set up a standing order onto these details and support your beloved Madani channel.
Dawat Islami UK Madani channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 4363450. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 34560. BIC LOYDGB210870.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Views on the channel, you saw just a little promo there, which basically just very, 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 very briefly give an introduction to some of the works of Dawud Islami. And alhamdulillah, the works of Dawud Islami are so great that it would take me a whole day on programs to mention the departments of Dawud Islami. And just to mention a few, one that you're watching right now, Madani channel. Here in the UK, Madani channel has become the heartbeat, not only in the UK, across the world. Madani channel has become the heartbeat of the Muslims around the world. It is a way that our Muballiks have come into your houses to teach you. And it's like anything else we use in Madani channel, that I've used this saying before, that you can take a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink it. And so when you take the horse to water, unless the horse is thirsty, it can't drink from the water. And so with that mindset, with people not coming to the masjid, not attending the gatherings, then Madani channel was created so that we come to you. We come to you. We come to you with the water. We come to you with the bowl of knowledge. And I hope that people take benefit from this. But obviously, this comes at a cost. And as you can see on Madani channel, you never see any adverts. You never see any promotions, any sales. And it's all free to air. I even remember here in the UK, that when we first applied for a license to air Madani channel here in the UK, a lot of people said to us that, look, you don't have to go free to air. You can charge people. Yeah, get a subscription-based channel. Charge everybody £12 a month. £12 a month is nothing. People will pay. And the brothers at the time, alhamdulillah, there was a cabina. It was a small cabina of 8 brothers at the time in the whole of the UK that were running the whole affairs of the UK. At that time, they said, no. No, we're going to go free to air. We want the whole ummah to benefit from this. Yes, we'll do the fundraising. We'll run around day and night to gather the funds so that we can air this Madani channel. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we'll make sure, just here in the UK, if we don't put any staff costs in place, any technical costs that we have in the UK, it's costing us here more than, I would say, about £30,000 to £35,000 a month just for the broadcast costs of Madani channel here in the UK. More than £1,000 a day just to broadcast Madani channel here to the UK. So I would request each and every one of you to set up a standing order, a direct debit, to benefit from this. And inshallah, if you do this, it's a continuous reward. You know, you go to the masjid, you put £1 in the box, that £1, you'll get the reward for that £1. But if you were to put in the box every Friday £1, then it's a continuous reward. And what happens is sometimes you don't go on a Friday, sometimes you forget to go there and you miss that opportunity. Set up a standing order, set up a direct debit. And alhamdulillah, what happened with here in the UK, that when we did it, people did. People set up standing orders for £1 a week, £1 a month, £5 a month, £10 a month, £12, £30, £50, £100, £200 a month. People have set up standing orders and direct debits. And they're all supporting this. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them and enable them to get this great reward. But then again, viewers on the channel, these costs are still there and they are increasing. So I request you all that if it is possible, if you feel that you are benefiting from Madani channel, and I believe that every Muslim household is benefiting from Madani channel, if you set up a set planning order and a direct debit to benefit Madani channel. Viewers of Madani channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. We're coming towards the end of the program now. And we've mentioned so many things about how the pious predecessors would help people, would go out of the way to help people as well. And there are many, many examples that I've not had time to really mention them to you, but many, many scholars of the past, they would put their own personal needs, personal wants to one side, where they were wanting to do something, wanted to achieve something, but what they did is they put that to one side because an opportunity arose where they could go and help someone and please someone. Now, ultimately, they suffered. They suffered, or they would appear that they suffered, because what they wanted to do, what they wanted to achieve, got delayed or could not get done. But what they did is they put that to the back and went over here to help people. And that's how they lived their lives. They lived their life trying to help people, trying to please people. And without doubt, viewers of Madani Channel, all those pious predecessors of their past that sacrificed their time and helped people and pleased people, then inshallah, azawajal, they'll be rewarded. And if you think about it, viewers of Madani Channel, the way that the deen of Islam has got to us, it's got to us by this mindset that I want to help others. Help others get what? Help others get iman. Put iman into the hearts of people. So people left the houses, sacrificed their time, sacrificed their families. And remember all these people that we're talking about. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, did he not need sleep? Yes, he needed sleep. Did his wife not need sleep? Yes, she needed sleep. Did she not have any things to do at home? Yes, she had things to do at home. Did he not have any other responsibility? Yes, he had them. What? They put them all to one side. They put them all to one side and sacrificed that time to help people. Sacrificed that time to please people. Sacrificed that time to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because they realized, viewers of Madani Channel, the importance of it. They realized that this job that they wanted to do got delayed. This job that they wanted to complete got delayed. But they realized, if we do this, then okay, in the dunya, we may suffer by not getting this done. But in the akhirat, inshaAllah, we'll be rewarded with this. And this is a mindset that we need to do, help develop inside ourselves. And here in the UK, again, I would say to people that here in the UK, you're in a situation where you are financially strong. The majority of people, you may think, well, I'm struggling. Yes, you may think, and maybe some people are struggling, but believe me, viewers of the channel, you are not struggling in the same way that people are in other countries around the world. And if the next time, a lot of the viewers here that are watching Madani Channel, they're from the Indian subcontinent, if you go to Pakistan next time, when you're walking down the streets in Pakistan, wherever you are, and you see that child at the side of the road, and he's selling pens, he's selling combs, yeah? He's sitting there all day with a bowl of fruit and he's selling it. Think to yourself, what is the difference between that child and my child? Nothing. He is somebody's child. He is somebody's child. It is a blessing of Allah that your child is not having to go through that. So shouldn't you help that child? That child sells pens all day so he can go to school in the next morning. Some people sell combs all day so that they can eat meat food at home. And unless them combs are sold, then pens are sold, they can't help anybody. So again, viewers of Madani Channel, we need to develop this mindset and open up our hearts. And what happens is a lot of people, unfortunately, when I've spoken to them and I've said this to them, they said, look, we didn't even realize this. You know, it's right in front of them, it's in their face, and they've not even realized that people are there in need. People are struggling and suffering, they don't even realize that this is happening to them. Open your eyes, viewers of Madani Channel. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you. Use them blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you so that other people can benefit from them as well. Use that blessing that you have to put a smile on the face of other Muslim brothers. Put happiness in the heart of other Muslims. And it can be a small act. You know, I'm talking about things that cost money. Just smiling at someone. Or when you're eating, inviting someone. Yeah. Just giving something to someone, something so small, can put so much happiness in their heart. Allahu Akbar. I know recently that somebody just gave somebody a few sweets, just a few sweets, a few chocolates. And the person was so happy that tears came down their face, that they were so happy that this person, out of the sweets that they have, he gave them, and they were so happy that this person had given them some sweets. Allahu Akbar. Just think of the reward that that person will get by putting happiness in the heart of people. If we can put this in our own mindset, and I keep talking about this Madani mindset, viewers of Madani Channel, develop this Madani mindset so that we can help people as well. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, and I hope that we've learned something today, and I hope that I've learned something today, and I hope that we can make a change in our lives. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun